Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. So, there's the thing called Amanda's the Exploring Antinatalism podcast. And there, she is, she did. Okay, I just announced that there's some other faction of antinatalism is having some sort of conference thing, online thing, where, you know, they get some notables of some kind to discuss the nature of their collective project or something. So, I mean, all of this community stuff is a little bit of a, you know, I'm not a big advocate for it. To me, these are all arguments or memes, you know, in a social context, and it's really just about convincing people, and I don't think you need to wave banners and have parades and, you know, do all that kind of crap to create awareness or to win the argument, you know. You really shouldn't have to anyway. So, I mean, what creates a change in society, is so fickle. You know, Martin Luther King has to show up, or I don't even know what exactly. I mean, you could argue Mothers Against Drunk Driving did something. You know, they took, you know, something that was just a probably an observation lots of people had that, wow, we're letting too many people get killed by drunks. We ought to do something about it. And, you know, they turned it into some, you know, social policy where they put pressure on politicians because they were able to muster enough political support, that is, enough voters, where politicians had to start paying attention. Something like that. But you'd argue it's such an obvious, you know, it's almost so, it's like, you know, what, Mothers Against Cancer. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard an argument to make, you know, that drunk drivers aren't your friend. I mean, almost everybody except drunk drivers should be kind of aware that they're not your friend. So it's almost like, you know, a movement shouldn't even have been required. But, you know, in some sense, apparently it was. So I can't say I'm against the political organizing part of it. And again, that I think has to be, though, pointed at a subject that isn't really the subject. I mean, you don't need somebody to be an antinatalist, that is, an extinctionist, to be able to convince somebody to that there's no personal advantage or no meaningful advantage for them to have kids, that it's not their interest, that they shouldn't put money in the machine that sends kids into space or something. You know, that they really don't have to do that. And they don't have to be, they don't have to go through any, you know, philosophical entanglements to understand that, yeah, I don't want kids. I don't have a use for them. I mean, that's how I started. I mean, I didn't start as an extinctionist. I started as a, what's in it for me? Because I couldn't see anything in it for me, frankly. I didn't get what other people were getting about somehow it makes your dick look bigger if you have kids. I didn't, you know, sorry. You have to explain how that works. Because I don't see it happening. I don't see, the effect isn't working on me, okay? It's the emperor's not wearing any clothes kind of thing. You're just like, come on. You're just telling a story. There's no fact here. So anyway, so this, you know, I made this point before. So, you know, there's often these antinatalists that get kind of pessimistic, and, you know, we'll never convince anybody, and nothing's ever, and, you know, we're at a crossroad, so that's the title. There's some kind of crossroad. What's the crossroad? What's the left choice? What's the right choice? You know, what's your straight ahead choice? What crossroad is there? So I don't, you know, sorry, don't get the concept. So a bunch of antinatalists need to argue about their identity and what direction they're supposed to walk in or something. I don't know. So, again, I could argue that we're already won the argument in the sense that the civilized world is already chosen extinction. So it's just a fact that if people are given the freedom to act on their interests, and they're educated, they choose to go extinct. Just a fact, okay? They choose not to have enough kids to replace population. And so eventually, through attrition, you'll have no people. That's the end result. So it's a huge victory for our side, in a sense, right? I mean, the mission is almost complete, you would almost think. But then the Liberal Party comes along, okay? The Liberal Party used to fight against slave labor, and immigration was a big no-no, because it was just a way of keeping wages low and keeping the rich rich and all that shit. And all of a sudden now they're big advocates for stupid religious people, and yes, bring them all in here, let's take in every stupid motherfucking religious creep and make him sacred, and his 10 babies, who he won't educate. Really dumb, okay? Pierrotian, stupid. Just, it's like, just throw away the victory, right? So you win this, you sort of won the argument against religion, and then you just go and feed, you almost have the damn thing dead. You've almost starved religion to death, and they're just revitalizing it by basically supporting the very thing that grows it, which is ignorance and stupidity. The poor, the reckless, sloppy, negligent, callous, cruel, retarded poor. They're a mess to clean up. They're not a goddamn sacred cow of any kind, okay? They're disgustingly deplorable, stupid motherfuckers. I mean, there's no reason to be ignorant on this planet now. There just isn't any, okay? There's just no excuse for you not even banging into enough information to know it's really dumb for you to be a drug addict and having kids. If you can't figure that much out, we ought to just shoot you in the fucking head, frankly. If people are that fucking stupid. But instead, they cherish them. They cherish these morons. Alright, so that's, part of the context is that most of the anti-natalist movement is a bunch of intellectual stick up their, royal stick up their ass kind of pretensive horseshit, in my opinion, where they're just talking blah, 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 bullshit, and they're never going to get to a real subject. They're just going to talk around it and around it and around it with a bunch of, philosophy, conversation. that just doesn't get to the point, which is, first, we are winning if you don't allow the human race to get dumber. So if we preserve the idea of intelligence and knowledge and education, then we have a chance. But if we decide to lower the IQ, okay, by flooding in a bunch of poor people with no education and having them control your democracy, well, then that's not going to happen. Because they're all going to vote to be billionaires. They're not going to vote your liberal policies, That's the other irony, is these liberals advocating for this importation of a bunch of people who are fanatically religious and fanatically stupid. The two things, go together. In a lot of ways, it's just... yuck. Yuck. So the politics is just ruined by crap like that. So, it's the point I'm making is that you can identify direct enemies of anyone who is anti-natalist or wants to, your enemy is the pro-lifer. And what is the pro-lifer? The pro-lifer is a delusional religious kook or an ignorant fucktard. That's what it's made out of. The blissful people are the stupidest people on earth, okay? The smarter you are, the more concerned you are that the whole thing is a mistake, that everything is way too complicated and way too dangerous. That's what intelligence understands. And it also understands that imposing is shitty. Don't do that. Don't force people to wear your silly hat because you like to wear a silly hat that they have to wear a silly hat. Don't force them to be invested in you playing hopscotch for, you know, eternity or something and thinking you're accomplishing something because you're playing hopscotch. You know, you've created a, an organism that can be blissfully happy and it just plays hopscotch all day. And isn't that special? No, it's retarded. It's stupid. The fact is, the smarter you are, the more you see there's no direction to this process of evolution. There's no place to get to. There's no place to go. It's just about building bridges. It's not about going somewhere across them. You know, and it's just a really, it's just psychology that motivates people, and they're not being, unless they're smart enough to know better, they don't understand that psychology is just a malicious tooth and claw mechanism. It's just a branch of your personal ego competitive structure, and that you're not doing anything for the world by winning your little shallow, silly, trivial victories. And certainly not doing anything for the idea that, well, what are you doing? What are you advocating for? More cancer? I mean, there's no way to support the existence of living things without just supporting the existence of dying things and slow, horrible dying. And again, that's what the ignorant people will bring you, okay? They like going to dog fights. They like watching bull fights. They like cock fights. They like these crude entertainments, okay? They're the ones who just couldn't care less about doing anything with anything called grace or dignity or efficiency. So what's the enemy? The enemy is the religious. The enemy is the poor. They're the ones having all the kids, right? So, whatever. 85% of children are born to some asshole who probably doesn't have more than $500 in the bank. So if they did a statistical analysis, they'd probably find out that, 75% of babies are born to some moron who doesn't have $500 in the bank. I mean, again, I don't know. You can have your opinion, but it's my opinion that some asshole who's doing that is a cruel, motherfucking, impositional son of a bitch shithead. I mean, they deserve at least some sort of smack by society saying, fuck you, you reckless pig. You're just creating a problem that somebody else is going to have to clean up because you're not prepared for this. If you haven't even fixed that, where you've saved enough money to take care of who knows what's going to happen. You haven't even done that, let alone read any Dr. Spock books on how to psychologically program your kid or do any of the other crap you're going to need to know how to do to be a parent. Fuck. So anyway, I'm in a pretty shitty mood. I'm still suffering with a back problem. it's just not going away, and I'm not getting any rest, and I don't like it. I'm getting too old for this crap. So anyway, so I guess we'll play some of the video, and it's just, they're all guests that I would just say, who cares to, okay, these people aren't really talking about anything that matters, they're all distracted by some wooey nonsense. So the only political agenda is really being anti-ignorance and anti-religion. These are the biggest enemies. Stupidity and religion. They're really the same thing, right? But I mean, I'm just saying, that is the direct enemy. There's no other enemy. The pro-lifer is a byproduct of intellectual and financial poverty. You could put it that way. That's the enemy, okay? Once they're gone, okay, once you find some way to winnow them out of your portrait of humanity, you're going to win, because anything raised with any kind of intelligence isn't going to be loving recklessness and isn't going to be loving deserve has nothing to do with it. And, oh, let's just hope everything will be okay. God likes me, I'm sure. I mean, some kind of moronic perception like that. No, an intelligent person sees the jeopardy of their own existence, sees that they don't have any control of their death, the most important event that's going to take place in their life, and they have no control. They have, you know, it's just stupid to think. Like I said, intelligent people aren't going to, you know, come up with a plan, you know, to put babies on a boat to some foreign island. You know, they're not going to just sit there and say, yeah, let's have a senseless risk. Let's put them in senseless jeopardy. No, it's not going to happen. And they'll understand that, gee, it's really unacceptable to give kids cancer, to give kids birthday parties. Birthday parties aren't worth giving kids cancer for. So yeah, there's nothing you're going to give a kid that's going to be worth the kid you gave the cancer to. Okay, the victim is going to suffer more than any little hedonic fun, any of the retarded blissful will experience. It won't be fair compensation. Or of appropriate compensation. So anyway, look, I'm all for talking, I'm all for people spouting their opinions, all that kind of crap is great. Go ahead, have your clubs, go ahead and have your groups, go ahead and have your identity, blah, 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 all that bullshit. Frankly, I don't see the reason for any dissension among people who understand cancer be bad, okay. Dying sucks, okay. You know, that there's absolutely no point in showing up here just to figure out, oh yeah, this sucks, and then die. I mean, that's what an intelligence is going to do. An intelligence is going to play the game. It's going to say, man, what a stupid game. It's really poorly designed. You know, there's no way to win. You know, why am I playing? And then they can't get out of the chair without being electrocuted. You know, that kind of thing. That's not brain surgery. I don't see why. Again, what's the argument? Is there some? Are there really going to be like pro Jesus? You know, they're going to have such a big tent that they're going to let religious kooks, they believe in God and they believe God is really smart, but they believe God somehow doesn't know what he's doing. And because he's sending everybody to hell and that's bad. So don't have kids because you're going to be sending them to hell. So you don't want to do that. So don't have kids, even though that's not what the religion says. I mean, people who can't even do their religion right. You know, that's not a real great political foot soldier, as somebody who's already contradicting themselves and contradicting their own fanatic beliefs. Something like that, anyway. All right, I'll be back. All right, back. Again, so I should point out, like, little things. I guess I should always, like, just have little markers somewhere, you know, that it's always in the background, little statements here or there. Just because some things should just always be known by everybody, you know, like the statistics in, like, places like India, and where, you know, as you make the age that somebody has children, their first child, higher, the number of children they have goes way down. So in just those 5 years, from 13 to 18, just those tiny little 5 years, you can make a gigantic difference in population growth by just extending the first child to 18 years instead of 13 years old. And, you know, gigantic difference, you know, five kids versus two kids kind of argument. Okay, so it's always an ignorant decision, you know, frankly. So this population growth crap, the whole overpopulation thing, the whole thing has always been driven by just, you know, children deciding to have children. And, like, again, why should you need an antinatalist movement, you know, for people to say, it's probably not a good idea for 13-year-old kids or 15-year-old kids to be deciding the fate of humanity. You know, how many people we have on the planet and how much resources we have and how sustainable it is and all that crap. Probably not the kind of thing should be decided by a bunch of reckless teenagers. I mean, come on. It shouldn't even be an argument. Everybody should be able to say, yeah, okay, we ought to do something to discourage, the reckless decision making of reproductively capable but not very good drivers. From driving, frankly. Our whole civilization bus, in some respects. Alright. So we'll play some of this stuff, but like I said, none of this. I don't relate to much of it. Let me just put it that way. I don't get it. Alright, so we'll find a place here to...
But now that I've finally figured out the tech and how to...
Okay, he's doing some tech thing. Okay, whatever. So there's Amanda.
Been a guest. You're a wonderful interviewer, and it's really a great podcast, so congratulations on that front.
Whatever. So I haven't watched that, so I don't know what she's talking about. I guess that guy, the other guy, this guy is this Anton guy who, I got no love for. Just because of his, he's a wormy, wussy, pussy, antinatalist, effulist,
Where we should put that effort rather than just putting it into the first thing that comes to our mind. So, AA sort of came out of that conversation we had. And when we were having that conversation, we were talking about, there is sort of
AA. I guess it's antinatalist advocacy or something. Anyway, there it is right there. Probably not a great idea to steal somebody else's, AA thing. But anyway, whatever. I guess they all get used up, so you have to steal somebody else's, GMC or something. Not much to say. Let's just think of this. This is all going to come down to cultural. It's like documentaries and movies and all of this stuff. That's what bends memes I think that's what it's going to take. Now, I can't really think. When I was a kid, you could watch bullfighting on TV. Obviously, we migrated from that and said, well, that's no good. Let's not do that no more. it's kind of hard to diagram that transition from why it was acceptable and then when it became unacceptable. Now, I guess there's some ironic turns, like, gambling has always been kind of understood to be a way for people to ruin their lives. Frankly. And that was a weird time where all of a sudden the democracy became pro-gambling. So it's the difference between prohibition, where you're recognizing alcohol isn't doing anybody any good, and it might be sensible to discourage the use of it, but prohibition is a little bit extreme, to where they're basically pouring drinks for teenagers. Like somehow they swing. And it's just another one of those circumstances where I'd say, this is part of where democracy fails, because it just demonstrates that democracy is more about making people dumb, not smart. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about doing some sort of common denominator thing. And I would argue that, when the government got into the gambling business, it decided to start taxing people with lottery tickets. Seducing the poor out of their money so you could make poor people pay more taxes. I mean, it's so unliberal, and the liberals voted for it. Why? it's just completely unexplainable. The right wing is against it because it's, you know, it's sort of a, generally speaking, they were against, you know, it's sort of anti-God gambling houses. And it was the nutty liberals who decided to turn this into some sort of, let's really screw the poor, you know, tax-wise. It makes no sense. So, I mean, there's no point in being advocates when the advocates are the biggest enemy. So, again, it's people who are trying to do some good, okay, where, you know, Nietzsche is a little bit right, just a tiny bit right, about, you know, the fact that the road to hell is paved in good intentions, because good intentions without good logic is just puro, you know, ruin, catastrophe, fucktarded waste.
What form of activism we want to do. And when, I think maybe actually the tagline could be a bit misleading, because
what form of antinatalism? I think he should have said something like, what form of activism? So maybe that's what he was saying, but, you know. Yeah, how far do you go with this argument? And frankly, in its current form, it has just nothing, right? I mean, it's politically incorrect to be anti-religion. I mean, you can't really do a religious people, you know, are evil, MK protest somewhere. You know, because they'll all say it was some sort of personal attack, or you're attacking their religion, therefore you're attacking their ethnicity or something. Some other kind of horse shit. like it's somehow a hate speech, you know, to say religious people suck. Okay, God botherers should be, you know, as Scrooge would say, boiled in their own whatever pukey pudding. you know, in God's whatever, in Jesus's wet feet, he should be stomped to death with wet feet. I don't, you know, whatever. Just, you know, they really just are a menace. And but yeah, you can't protest them.
Figured all of this out. We're just two morons who trying to push, you know, trying to really get.
Okay, so yeah, they're just being humble. We're just morons playing, and we're just having, you know, and we're going to form a club, and, you know, we're going to put on a show, and, you know, it just sounds like the old Rascals or something. I mean, this is Alfalfa, and the other guy's Spanky. Well, maybe old fan Spanky. Anyway, go ahead, whatever.
Way, it sort of has seemed to be in sort of a holding pattern. So I really just applaud you guys.
So again, these are all your perceptions about whatever holding pattern. You could say that the theory of evolution has been in a holding pattern. You could make the same argument, right? You could say you convinced a certain number of people by whatever, 1857, or, you know, you could even just say 1950, and that you really haven't changed, you haven't improved the numbers, you know. And yeah, the holding pattern is what's it holding? What is it fighting against? It's fighting against the fact that the people are, in a sense, breeding ignorance, and so there'll never be evolutionists because they're never going to be smart enough to be evolutionists. You could argue. So as long as you allow people to be raised by morons to be morons, you know, as long as that kind of child abuse is acceptable. Where people are indoctrinated into their parents' religion, you know, yeah, you're not going to progress. But again, the bright side is that in any country where you do oblige children to have a high school education at minimum, and you have some taboo, some mechanism to discourage you know, reckless parenthood, that no problem. You end up with an antinatalist in the end, in the sense you end up with somebody who's not going to invest any of their personal energy in making future people. I mean, they're not going to produce them, and they're not going to pay somebody else to make them. They're really just not interested. That's all you need, is somebody not interested in being pro-life. You don't even need them to be anti-life. You just need them not to be pro-life. So it's one way of looking at it.
Like, it is our first go at a conference, so we didn't want to just have too much in one go. So we're sort of doing two half days.
Yeah, whatever. So they waste all this time talking about little minutiae. We didn't want to be too boring either. So yeah, 3 hours or 5 hours is a lot. So we, you know, who cares? Yeah, I don't know. I suspect the second day is going to be something about community, some sort of, I don't know, community thing. And then the first day will be some sort of thing about the difference between being a vegan or being a transhumanist or being a, I don't know. Yeah, sorry. It all just seems mushy to me. I mean, I can't see any logic to the whole argument without the understanding that it's in this context of evolution. I mean, if you believe something other than, you know, that evolution is this really crude force, you know, that's just making machines to fight with other machines, for merely the purpose of keeping machines covering the earth, and that's all it's about, is just covering the earth with machines. and that it's doing it at this huge price of torturing all of the machines, and some of them more than others, but all of them, for just nothing. To have a coat of paint nobody's going to look at, kind of thing. To do something that can't be appreciated by anything other than the morons, the pieces of paint. You don't think the paint's cool, but other than that, there's nothing. There's no value to it. It's not weatherproofing anything. It's not preserving anything. It's not protecting anything. It's just putting things at risk. Something like that. Anyway. I pause. You just continue. So yeah, they spent the first whatever half hour of this conversation about the conference, not really talking about who was going to be in the conference. So I guess we'll jump to about here and see if they finally get to the subjects that they'll actually talk about. I'll see if that's what they get to.
Well, payment is required.
It's free. So yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, like somebody would pay. Yes, you have to pay to be part of the conversation. To even hear the conversation. This is just such a strange world. Anyway.
And helping us along the way. So, really grateful for everyone who has agreed to talk. And, yeah, super excited.
So, they're all super excited. Okay. I didn't, you know. All right, so one of the guys is David Pierce. He's the leadoff guy, which, in my opinion, is saying a lot about their judgment, because he's nuts. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. He's gonna create genetically happy people, because he actually believes there's some sort of happy gene. Okay, that you can somehow, if you have the right genetic code. Okay, you will interpret Jews in concentration camps as not that big a deal, and you'll be all happy. Some kind of crap like that. I mean, this is coming from somebody who has some knowledge of, you know, the right to, you know, the animal rights, you know, advocacy and all these other things that are sort of based on the fact that there's really nothing to be very happy about. There's a lot going on in the world that's really ugly. Not only just to humans, but to, you know, billions and billions of animals every day are tortured around the world. And what the fuck is there to be happy about? So, I mean, I've used in the past analogies, like, let's say I had a neighbor who was, you know, throwing little baby Jews into an oven in their backyard, and they had a legal permit. Okay, the law says it's okay. You can torture these things. You can chain your dog to a pole in the backyard, just have him sit in the rain. You can do whatever, you know, some kind of torture. And you had to watch it every fucking day. You're sitting on your deck, you know, trying to enjoy your life, and you can hear it, and you can see the smoke drift across the back of your yard. And you're supposed to be fucking happy, according to this transhumanist moron. That's your genetics. It's bad genetics. If you're not happy, okay, in a world like that, then somehow you have a genetic problem. So it doesn't make any sense, right? Because if you make people comfortable, people are born more happy, do you think they're going to be more responsible? Do you think they're going to be more compassionate and more empathetic? Of course not. It's exactly the opposite. So it's just like the liberals importing the fucking religious kooks. You know, say, bring me your religious kooks so they can dilute my democracy and turn it into shit. It's just as stupid. They're shooting their own cause in the head. All right, with some notion that you're going to create happy people and therefore you have fixed the problem because now there's happy people. And then the rest of his crap is to do with fucking somehow fucking sterilizing wild animals or domestic animals or some other kind of crap, which is also just so impractical. You're not going to fix problems with these pie-in-the-sky bullshit solutions. Ain't going to happen. You're not going to make your great game of life. It just isn't going to happen in the real world, because that's not the mechanical structure of the universe. The universe doesn't need happy. What it needs is no sad. You just can't make happy without the sad first, fuckheads. You're really not going to drink water unless you're thirsty first. Ugh. But anyway. So that's just, ugh. Bad start. Besides the guy not being exactly Mr. Charisma.
On any of the guests that you see in the backlog, then go and check those episodes out. Yeah, so David Pierce. So for anyone who doesn't know who David Pierce is, I'll give a bit of a introduction as to who he is and then why we've invited him to give the talk he's going to give.
So this is the only guy who has any kind of, you know, this is like the name guy, right? So there's no like David Benatar here. Okay, so it is a pretty weak guest list, but whatever.
So David Pierce, he's a British philosopher.
Yeah, so just talks in all kinds of fucking jargon, okay? I mean, about hedonic this and geno blah blah, some kind of made up crapola about happy genes. And so, yeah, just typical philosophical crap. All right, way too many words, way too many syllables in the fucking words just to talk around the subject. Blah blah blah. Philosophers. Fuck it. Waste of time.
Who I think is probably most known for his transhumanist views. So he wrote...
And it's not transhumanist in any kind of like fun way, like, you know, Transformers. Like, we're going to be like a Wolverine guy or whatever. We're going to have, you know, retractable and, you know, laser eyes or something. No, it's some sort of horseshit about you do some genetic modification and you turn the human into basically a retard who's blissfully happy, you know, eating his own boogers, you know, out of a bowl or something. You know, turning the humans back into an animal, you know, who's too stupid to know any better. And so it'll wag its tail no matter what's happening. That's his solution. Just make us so stupid that we'll eat anything and be happy.
I can't remember exactly when it was he wrote it, but he wrote The Hedonistic Imperative, and...
This doesn't mean anything. It's just silly talk, blah, 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 blah. It's just some kind of qualia word or some kind of blah, blah, Yes, we are feeling beings, and it's quite obvious that there's a difference between the good feelings and the bad feelings, and you can label that good and bad, plus and minus. And you could figure out that, well, the cash value of the minus can't be higher than the cash value of the plus. Okay. And if the pluses are just made out of an absence of a debt, well, you can't pay any bills with the absence of a debt. You actually need some sort of positive currency somewhere. And that's where you get into Benatar and asymmetries or zero-sum games. There's no money to be made here. There's just trying not to lose. And that's the only argument to be made that's sensible, frankly.
And
minimizing losses is the only way to win the game. There's no way to maximize a gain.
And he went on to found... Oh, I'm going to forget the name now, but it was something like the... he wrote it in 1995, and he helped set up... And I'm going to forget the name, but it was something along the lines of like the International Transhumanist...
Yeah, right. So that really took off, didn't it? You know, that's why you're having an antinatalist conference, is because, well, you know, the transhuman thing didn't really work. Didn't sell a whole bunch of people on genetically modifying their kids, because isn't that sort of eugenics? And that gets, once you start that game, well, why don't I just genetically modify them into Tyrannosauruses? Then my kid gets to win all the time. Yeah, I'll make him, you know, what are you going to try to do except make him a horse that's going to win the race? And so then aren't you just doing exactly the same thing as evolution is doing? Just doesn't matter what kind of tools you give it, just so as long as it wins. And it forces somebody else to lose.
Right. Now, antinatalists, or traditional antinatalists, want to take the coming into existence out of the equation, and then suffering goes away, right? Whereas David Pearce, folks...
Yeah, the simple way to do this is to prevent the infection rather than to do the Band-Aid thing or the cure thing. So you want to, I mean, yes, you want to cure, you want to basically just cure the disease. And the easiest way to cure the disease is to have nothing that can host the disease. So don't open your Petri dishes and then you won't have infection in the Petri dish kind of thing. I don't know, it's kind of a simple argument. Take no risk, then you don't have anything to lose.
This is on the other side of the equation and says, well, actually, if we take suffering out, then we kind of remove it.
So, I mean, the very idea of the whole concept of taking suffering out, you know, it just doesn't make any sense, because it's all part of the necessary thing. Again, you can't do anything with any passion or, I mean, every bit of your desire and all this other stuff is really built out of the negative side of the loneliness or sadness or all that kind of stuff, separation. I mean, all of our bliss is usually derived from satisfying a deprivation. So I don't even know how you take all the suffering out and still provide the differential, the ability to see the difference. You know, to know that you're happy. You can't compare it to being sad. You don't have any happy.
Being the issue that we have with coming into existence in the first place. And so what he wants to help bring about is a world where there is essentially no suffering. He wants to...
What is the realistic... We can't even create a world where we can guarantee people having a high school education and a minimum amount of health care. And yet he wants to create a world where everybody's genetically modified into some sort of... I don't even know what. Again, what is he going to do? What does he think these genes are going to do? These genes he wants to modify to turn you into something that doesn't care, that can't be hurt, that can't, you know, the girl can't break your heart. You're going to be incapable of being heartbroken if somebody doesn't love you, and that's going to make you a better person? I don't think it is.
Abolish suffering. And he wants to do that through a mixture of genome editing, new technologies, transhumanist technologies, And that's what he's going to be giving his talk about. And, you know, the reason we invited him is...
I mean, we don't, these technologies don't exist. They, again, we can't mitigate against a lot of the suffering and pain that people experience. With all of our technology, we're not really getting anywhere, right? You're still taking, you know, 50, 60-year-old medications. You know, the advancement has been very slow.
Because we said... antinatalism, we, as we see it, is at a crossroads, and we need to know what is our goal and how are we going to pursue it. And David Pearce proposes a completely different goal.
I mean, really, again, I can't say it this way, but, you know, the goal is to exterminate ignorance and poverty. Do that, and you're so far on the winning side, you know, in terms of the rest of the people will have so few children that you've won. You're done. Game over. For at least for the human race. And the rest of it is just figuring out that, yes, a few old people have to hang out till the end, till the human race starts getting really, really small number, and eventually they have to do the humane thing and put the planet out of its misery. You know, bite the last bullet and clean up the mess. For the sentient organisms, you know, being trapped in the ignorant cycle of life thing, okay, prevent all the new octopuses and sharks and whatever,
or from most other antinatalists, which is we shouldn't be aiming for non-procreation, we should be aiming for abolishing suffering via genome reform and the use of technology.
So I guess he's planning on they think they can make it. So an easier argument to make to the ignorant poor, I guess, that we're gonna fix your genome and you know, do some sort of genetic modification rather than some kind of like structural fixing of what they would consider the real problems, which are the exploitation, the whole rich man, poor man thing, all these other social ills that we haven't been able to fix. So those ones are really obvious and really right in our face, and they're sort of easy to fix. I mean, inheritance be stupid, okay? I mean, it'd be unfair, it'd be uselessly destroys any incentive economics. You don't have incentive economics if you guarantee people a victory. That's really stupid. But I mean, you know, I don't want to get into all the politics again, but you've already failed to win lots of these political arguments that are so much easier, and then you're saying you're going to win some bizarre argument about, yes, we're going to take all the king's horses and all the king's men and waste them on trying to genetically alter us into happy people.
Problem and wants to solve it. So really excited to have him on board. And unlike some of the guests, he is, as you're saying, Lawrence, he is like a self-professed, self-identifying. I'm not sure. He says he's an antinatalist. Like, that is the label that he identifies with.
Yeah, well, there's absolutely no question that David Pearce is one of the most important voices in antinatalism and his perspective.
So I don't see it. But whatever. Because he says he's an antinatalist, but everything he says is really about evading the real subject, which is antinatalism just means being high school educated. There. We're done. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, back. Well, let's see what else we can find out here. Blah, blah, blah. Post, see what this guy's saying. Blah, 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 blah.
Involved in vegan activism in the Middle East and community building there. And we're going to talk about if there are any parallels, any opportunities for building an antinatalist community there as well.
So again, you know... The Middle East is the perfect example, right? What is our influence in the Middle East done? Oh, that's right. It's thrown them back 100 years. Okay, any progress they were making, we stopped the progress and reverted them back to being even more fanatically religious. So, yeah, all of our influence has been negative. So, yes, and so you're going to try to create a movement that's basically thumbing its nose again at the religion, and we know it's already these theology states. And it should just be recognized that we should have an intrinsic suspicion, and there should be a principle that if you're coming to live in America, being an American means you're not a theologist. Okay, you don't think theology should run the state, that the government and that the whole society should be able to impose its religion on everyone else, and something like that. And we can't even do that. These intellectuals are so weak and mushy that they can't even call it the spade a spade. They can't call the religious kook the religious kook. Instead, pretend they're going to coexist with that ignorance in some compatible way. And it's just not going to happen. If you can't declare that war, if you really can't declare the war against God, you can't declare a war against anything bad happening in the world, because it's all based on fables and misunderstandings of our circumstance. All of it relates to religion. You have to be a religious kook to think the cancer, giving kids cancer, is worth it. You have to be a religious kook to find some glory in it, the glorious suffering for the great cause of sending people to hell. I mean, there's nothing here. There's nothing. Their philosophy is made out of shit, nonsense, complete rubbish. It needs to be called that, because that is the enemy. As education proves, education makes somebody who's afraid to have kids. It makes a human being who says, what the fuck? I don't want my kid to watch me die. I don't want my kid to take care of me. I mean, these are completely disgusting philosophies that are running these poor countries. These fuckers are having kids because they see the kid as a monetary thing, something they can sell, you know, as a prostitute. They can sell it off in some way and make graft out of it. And then they have the bottom line where they can say, well, if you happen to ever make a success out of yourself and make any money, give me half of it. It's all fucking the most deplorable, selfish crap. Why compromise with any of that shit? Why give that an inch? Because that's the disease, frankly. That's the fucking kernel of crap, okay, that is poisoning the pie. Extract these idiotic fables about what the nature of existence is. Take away these fables, these unicorn bullshit, this singularity shit, this utopian crapola. Extract that from being a real philosophy and just label it what it is: retarded, stupid, ignorant, moronic. And destroy that. Try to eradicate that from existence through some sort of therapy, some holistic education. But don't placate it, and don't subsidize it.
This one's really interesting because Matty's going to be exploring the question of, you know,
So here's an Ephelist, okay, so they're going to have, you know, one of them, sort of, but way too many words, way too many words.
Can you separate antinatalism from extinction? What are the different forms of extinction? What are the ethics of extinction? Should antinatalists be advocating for extinction?
I don't even understand that being a conflict. What does antinatalism mean? Just half anti? I mean, I'm just a little against it. I like some war, you know, I like anti-war, but no, this much war is good. No. So yeah, this much war is okay. I'm against this much war. I mean, what's the point of being an antinatalist? That would be a birth controlist or a, you know, population... anti-population growth person. That's not an antinatalist. If your goal isn't the ending of nataling, then you shouldn't call yourself anti-natalist. It just doesn't make much sense. I guess maybe they're going to be eternalists or something. They're going to, you know, invent a pill and live forever.
There's something controversial and interesting there for everyone.
Yeah, it's all part of the fun. It's a fun subject and a fun. And we're going to have a party and we're going to have cupcakes and it'll all be really fun. Fuck. It's a goddamn war, frankly. None of this is fun. Living on a planet of sadistic fucks. It's not fun.
And, you know, just congratulations for having him be in the conference, yeah.
All right, never heard of him. Okay. So, great, yes, glad he's there, too. He's probably just a vegan or something. He's not really an anti-natalist, but whatever. Then they'll decide what anti-natalists should be concerned about. You know, a bunch of non-anti-natalists will decide what anti-natalism is.
Well, in Oscar's talk, we hope that it will illuminate to those who don't know why antinatalists are concerned about what's happening to wild animals. I hope that it will illuminate why a lot of antinatalists do care.
I mean, the very fact that you have to be so careful and cautious about, oh, you know, well, yeah, they need to have it explained that the other organisms on Earth are not any different than you, except they're dumber. And that's it. But in all other respects, they're just as, you know, they're just as capable of being tortured as you are. And there's no evidence of anything otherwise except God saying so. So if you don't think some God says it's okay to torture animals, well, you have no good reason to think them being tortured is a good idea. If you don't think human beings, if you don't think some human mother should watch 10 of her cubs die, you know, her babies, then why do you think it's okay for a lion to watch that happen? I mean, why do you think it's okay for it to happen in nature over and over and over again? Okay? I mean, in insane numbers. I mean, you could say the average is somewhere, I could throw a number like, 100 to 1. So it's mass murder of children. So you're basically saying, look, I'm going to have a program that's going to compete, you know, a TV show. Freddy's Nightmare times 100, okay? You know, where I'm going to show you 100 kids killed. 100 kids. I'm going to take 100 kids and I'm going to kill 99 of them. So one of them can win bingo on Thursday night. Yeah, I'm going to kill 99 of them brutally, horribly, give them cancer, give them all kinds of crap. I'm going to kill them as children. I'm going to kill them. They're going to be molested and then killed. Okay, that's, I might as well let Freddy do it, right? And it's because it's going to be, there's not going to be any bounds to how horribly they're going to be destroyed. They will be destroyed. That's evolution. Why the fuck could any rational person have a conversation about, oh, I care about feeling things, I care about, oh, there's too much suffering in the world, blah, 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 and they can't figure this out? I mean, if that's how, if you have to go so far back that, you know, you can't just say as a given, I mean, come on, if you're too stupid to get this whole argument, then what the fuck are you in the conversation for? I mean, you can't figure out that, you know, feelings are not a human only possession. Oh, come on, too stupid.
Implications in antinatalism because they are concerned about certain ethical issues they may bring up, and so we just wanted to deal with those ethical issues head on. And I think when it comes to this specific one,
yeah. So the ethical issues are, well, know what? If you want to do something positive for the idea of making people responsible, well, then make them responsible. Make the people who are having kids pay for it. Okay, that's a real simple way. You want to discourage birth? Well, the simple way to do it is make the people having kids exclusively pay for educating their kid and giving their kids health care and giving their kids all, and buying police to, you know, keep your kid from being a thug. and all this other crap that we as a society have to spend, you know, all the special ed buses and all the government employees flipping paper all over the place because some kid is a little bit stupid or retarded. I mean, the insane amount of money. Make them pay it. All right, make them pay for their pro-life perspective. Make them pay for what it costs to have their stupid pets. Just like the fucking pet owners should be paying to clean up all the feral cats that are left to you know, the harshest and worst brutalities. Fuck this bullshit that people shouldn't have to pay the freight for their horse shit. Mountain climbers should pay for us to, you know, fly a helicopter to go clean up their dead body off the top of the mountain. People should pay for their pleasures, okay, their silly recreations. And if some asshole thinks they're going to get off on having kids, well, let them pay for it. Pay to do it right. Why, you know, that's easy. That's a political argument. That's the easy fix. Take away the subsidies for having kids. And you're going to do a huge, you're going to make a huge difference in this equation. You know, force people to go to pay for your kid camp, you know, and get a, you know, actually work to pay for their goddamn kid's welfare. If they're going to create a problem, let them have to be the first one used as a rag to clean up the mess. Use them up. Don't be taxing somebody else for their poor judgment.
Absolutely agree or align with us, as far as we're aware, on every single issue. And I think this is especially important for the next talk. We're going to talk about the round table about building a healthy community.
Yeah, la 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 la. What is that? You know, it just doesn't mean anything. Community around what? You can't figure out that this is about sentience on planet Earth, okay? So you can't even figure out that oh yeah, all your members should know that as a given starting point. This is about feeling things on Earth. It's a conversation about what happens to sentient organisms on planet Earth. It's not about, you know, this is like having a conversation about let's have a group and we'll just decide what happens to people with blue eyes, you know, and we'll exclude all the rest. Hey, come on, too silly. Might have a conversation about, well, let's populate Mars. Well, yeah, let's send a Muslim and let's send a Jew to Mars. And let's see what kind of great shit'll happen.
Well, recognizing some of the harms that we're trying to counter. So yeah, that's basically the approach that we're taking, and hopefully we can help kind of spread that approach through the community, as you have done, Amanda, with this podcast.
Thank you so much, John. I mean, yeah, keeping the tent wide, I think, is the only way forward. And
yeah, well, I fundamentally disagree. People aren't really on your side. So again, it's I don't know what the comparisons to make. I mean, it's pragmatically useful, okay, that the Russians got into war with the Nazis. I mean, it just happened to be really great. You know, a huge benefit, okay, to our advantage. But let's not play some game that we're on the same side, you know, and that for the rest of our lives we're going to be paying some preposterous military budget thing, okay, because of this. How much of our lives we've taxed ourselves out of. Making a bunch of useless shit and paying people to, you know, walk around in circles in a cold war, you could argue, because they weren't on our side. So which one cost us more? In a sense, you could argue that the long-term cost of our cold war with the Russians cost more than World War II. Now, obviously, it didn't cost more in terms of the real, you know, rape and brutality. But if you think of the resources being precious, you know, that the money can buy people's comfort, that it can enhance their safety and security, then you could argue that a lot of safety and security was thrown away, squandered, making tanks that never fought in a war. blah, 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 making nuclear bombs, that there's no, you know, rational scenario in which they can be used. So whatever, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so, you know, I've done my part, okay? So this is what antinatalism is on the internet. They're doing some sort of convention thing. They're going to have a little party, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm not terribly interested, but maybe you are. And so you should be aware that they're having some sort of, and this isn't really a call crossroads, this is an identity crisis. They don't know what they're for. See, I know what I'm for. I know what I'm voting for. I know what I'm going to advocate for. So I don't have this problem of being indecisive. And the problem is you're telling me I somehow have to do it with your help, or somehow we have to push the wall together. I don't see why it should even be an issue, because, yeah, we should be doing that right now. We should already, okay, agree that, well, you know, let's do, let's create whatever social policy that can be created that encourages more responsible procreation. So that would be simple. That's sort of doable. Okay, so maybe that's what all of you should advocate for, is coming up with some minimal policy decisions. Because it's always going to be about that. It's a political fight in the end, because it is a stinking democracy. And, no, it's not about being right. It's about being able to persuade the morons. And at minimum, you should be able to persuade people to understand that it's really bad for kids to be making decisions about the welfare of children. Yeah, that kind of thing. Kids shouldn't be having kids. And that is preventable with even just a minimum amount of effort, in the sense that you just create incentives for them not to make the mistake. That is, you pay them not to make it, simply put. All right, so till the next time, and such and so forth and whatnot. Whatever, I'm in really a shitty mood. And I'm not going to play some game that this conversation is all so dishonest. Everybody has to be so dishonest, you know, in terms of playing some game that they love everybody and everybody is worth preserving and everybody's this and everybody blah, 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 blah. It's all this. It's just such mush. The fact is, I don't think there's a human being on this earth that couldn't find a few million people on this planet. It would gladly blow up, you know, make them disappear. If they had the magic wand and could make things disappear, they'd make plenty of shit disappear. Anyway, so till the next time, and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, it's probably more than enough.